Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we're going to talk about one of those things that seemingly people don't talk about, but is a major cybersecurity vulnerability that rears its ugly head on a fairly consistent basis. And that is called DDoS, Distributed Denial of Service Attacks. We're going to talk about that a little bit. EMA is releasing a report on the best and the brightest in the DDoS mitigation space. We'll be releasing that here probably by the end of February. Everybody will be able to have it, look at it, and do whatever they're going to do with it. But we wanted to give you an overview of DDoS, what it is, what people can do about it, and quite bluntly, again, talk a little bit about some of the solutions, why the solutions are important, how they can really impact your business, your enterprise, and sometimes even you personally. So with that, why don't you start us, Ken? Talk to me a little bit about what a DDoS attack is for our audience, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
Yeah, so I guess probably before we even define DDoS, we should probably just define a regular denial of service attack. And the goal of a denial of service attack is literally what it sounds like. You're going to deny service, specifically deny service to others. Now, before DDoS attacks came into play, the way this was typically achieved was somebody would figure out how to craft a specially designed packet and send this packet to a target server. And a lot of times the way this would work with the target packet would make the server just keep the connection open and wait for another response from the sender. And then, because the sender would never follow up the rest of the request, the target server would just kind of sit there in a hold state and nobody else would be able to talk to it.
Let's talk that through for a second. So I know that we're getting kind of technical here. When you look at how the internet and how networking works, there are receipts and acknowledgments and so on and so forth, right? And so when you send a packet, the other side of it has to receive that packet, then do something with it, and then acknowledge that, and then back and forth. That's how the networks in your environment communicate. Your wireless network works that way. Your wired network works that way. It is basically a back and forth conversation between those devices saying that, yes, I am receiving your packet. I am acknowledging that packet. I am doing something with it. Now here's the data that I'm sending back, if it's sending anything back at all. So that's all kind of the basics on how this works. Ken, continue.
Yeah. So after that, then, what started happening is a distributed denial of service attack, where you don't necessarily have to now craft specially designed packets anymore, but you can actually just create, you know, very regular, benign packets, regular traffic, but that traffic is then sent towards a target server with the target server intention to be overwhelm the server. In other words, a lot of times this will happen where you'll have a massive botnet of infected computers, and all of those infected computers are given a specific target server somewhere on the internet, and they're all told, okay, flood this server with traffic. And you don't need actually any exploit or anything like that, but it just triggers a massive flood of network traffic towards that server with the intention of making it unavailable for legitimate users.
So let's talk about that a little bit. And this is happening all the time, right? I'll give you the perfect example. When you are trying to buy Taylor Swift tickets on Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster gets flooded. There's no question about it, to the point where they've gotten very smart about it, and they actually put a queue in front of it that you can hit the queue constantly. And before you ever enter their system, because their system is not infinite, before you ever enter their system, you're actually in a separate place that's the queue for their tickets. It makes all the sense in the world because they know that at 10 a.m. and 1 second that the entire world all at once is going to try to order tickets. You've seen it a whole pile of times in history when there was like America's Got Talent and The Voice and any of those shows, a lot of times people would vote and they would flood that call center, that email, that voting, whatever, and it would crash that system. Happens all the time, not as a attack, but because services are finite and they can only take and absorb so much traffic at once. Those services that have a lot of traffic already have some built-in infrastructure or defense to be able to deal with legitimate traffic. What we're talking, and so that's one example. What we're talking about from a DDoS attack is when you take a site and take whatever site you want, and instead of taking and giving it legitimate traffic, which it probably receives plenty of legitimate traffic already, you send your bot army to sit there and constantly ping it over and over and over and over again to make certain that it is completely overwhelmed and cannot conduct its normal business. That's what a DDoS attack really looks like when it's all said and done. And that's why they're as common as they are. It is very simple to create that bot army. That bot army then can hit, again, I'll pick on Ticketmaster, although they're well prepared for it, but you hit Ticketmaster and it hits it, hits it, hits it, hits it. And now all of a sudden they can't process the normal Taylor Swift tickets that they were going to sell. Something very common, something that really does happen in the real world.
Yeah, and there's actually a website that I love going to. Unfortunately, they don't update it anymore, but it was really neat when they did update it on a regular basis. It's called Digital Attack Map. And you can still access the website. You can view the historical data on it, and it'll give you a pretty good idea, a nice visualization of what one of these actual bot army attacks looks like, where you can actually see, like, the one that I'm looking at right now is showing a whole bunch of bots all across the world targeting a single server in China. And you can actually see the network flow that it's showing, where it's massive amounts of data headed all to this one single conversion point. So I guess probably the easiest way to think about that from a physical perspective would be look at a traffic jam. All right, when you've got a whole bunch of highways converging to a single point at a city, you see the traffic slows up and even stops to the point that no traffic can get through. That's the same way the distributed denial of service attack works.
Yeah, your example is perfect. It's the one that I was going to recommend too. When you see graphics and so on and so forth, you see that choke point. And the one that's famous for it is trying to go across the Bay Bridge into the city into San Francisco from on the Bay Bridge. It's, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think it's like 20 lanes converge into two. And of course, there's always a jam. There's never a time where there isn't a jam. Amazingly, the traffic actually flows pretty well there. They actually move their way from it. But in case in point, if then you take and close down half of the toll booths or whatever have you, then traffic becomes extremely snarled. Then if you have an accident right at the end where the merge is going to be, which happens from time to time too, people crashing into each other, then you go from two lanes to one lane, then it's pandemonium. Right? Because then nothing can get through. It's very common. Everybody has seen traffic jams. Everybody's seen these accidents. And it's a really, really good and visual example of how a DDoS attack works, because you have a pipe, the pipe is great. And then all of a sudden you can't use 3/4 of the pipe where you are using 70% of the pipe on a daily basis to get your normal traffic done. All of a sudden everything slows down. And so that's why DDoS attacks are very effective. They're very inexpensive. They're very effective. The EMA report basically looks at solutions It's called a PRISM report. It'll be out very shortly. It looks at solutions that help mitigate some of these DDoS attacks. There are some very, very, very good vendors that can help you with this on the infrastructure side, so on and so forth. And in fact, and we didn't evaluate them, there are some by Amazon and Microsoft and Google that are specifically for your cloud instances, and they should be looked at as well. But some of these vendors are out there. I highly recommend them. We evaluated 18 vendors. There wasn't a bad one in the mix, quite honestly. In fact, Ken will laugh probably a little bit because we started taking and doing this, and the scoring differential between the highest and the lowest was so close that some of the graphs weren't even turning out correctly. And so this was a real problem for us. We expected there to be, you know, a 50-point swing between the top and the bottom. And at the end of the day, there was only not even quite 20 when it was all said and done, or maybe 30. I mean, I can't remember exactly. My point in sharing that is that these solutions, and they're all out there and they'll all be in the report, they are outstanding and definitely worth taking a look at. Regardless of your size of your company, regardless of the maturity level of your company, there is a solution in this report that is going to meet your needs at your cost point that is worth looking into if you do not have DDoS protection within your environment. So with that, Ken, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you a question on that, Chris. So
sure.
What were the top evaluation criteria? Because I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, the first, there were four that we really looked into. And none of these are in the priority of a particular order one way or the other. The first one that we looked into was scalability, right? And so when you have an attack, how are you going to be able to scale up seamlessly to make that work? We also looked at anomaly detection and monitoring. Obviously, very, very important when it was all said and done. If you can't see a bad guy coming in, what are you going to do about it? You need to have real-time attack mitigation. When an attack is going on, you can't wait for, you know, something else to click over and to stop the attack from happening. You want it to stop as quickly as possible. And the last one was the performance impact. All of these solutions come, you know, with a cost. That none of them are absolutely transparent and perfect, but the cost impact is actually pretty minimalistic when it's all said and done. And the top providers that we had were all, in fact, really almost everybody in every category was rated either a 7, 8, or a 9. So in that particular space. So again, there are some real winners out there. It really is a matter of finding a solution that picks your, that meets your organization's particular needs, and to go with that solution.
Very good. I look forward to the report.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, everybody, it'll be out here in the next couple of weeks. We spent a lot of time with this whole PRISM idea. Very much looking forward to sharing it with the world. We'll probably do a podcast about that specifically at some point here in the future. But with that, I think that we've covered this enough. I look forward to sharing the PRISM report with you guys on DDoS mitigation. And if you have any questions about DDoS, again, feel free to contact me or Ken. We have just a bucket of information on this at this point. And I hope this has been informational. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.